ITS Coffee Break for Friday, August 16th, 2013.
In this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, as we gear up for the fall semester, we have several upgrades of systems, including classrooms, Moodle, and WordPress. And in tech news, we'll talk about using Pinterest in education and Google Play's new textbook offerings.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name is Kenneth Newquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And we have start of term news for you.
Oh, there is so much start of term stuff going on. That's Yes. Pretty much the focus of this podcast.
Yes, the key. So, you know, I was just at a family get together. And naturally, everyone goes, oh, well, how's been your summer? Your time off? You know, you've been relaxing since you didn't have to go to work? Like, no, this is our busiest time of year. This is when IT gets everything done.
Yeah, we get to relax, like, come about mid-September. Things will quiet down just a little.
Right. But I mean, right now, I mean, we're in mid-August right now.
Yeah.
Now
full
is
tilt.
Crunch time. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, from my area, one of the big things that's been going on are the smart classroom upgrades. And I think we've talked about this before, but they are coming online. So Oxley Hall is pretty much finished. And they're finishing up some things in Van Wickle and Kunkel. And so we'll have new high definition smart classrooms in those rooms.
What kind of stuff do you get?
Well, so the projector is much, much brighter. So people can actually leave the lights on in a classroom and still see a good quality image. So all high definition there. The audio is also digital, and so the sound is phenomenal in these rooms. Blu-ray player that is obviously backward compatible, so you can still play a DVD.
So you can
put your DVDs in. Yeah. But we did remove the VHS players.
Ooh.
So I actually have one in my trunk that I was trying to get rid of. I'm thinking of donating it to some poor faculty member who has a lot of VHS content still as sort of a token of love. And
wow.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That reminds me of my dad. My dad used to teach middle school, and he has just this wall of VHS at our house of all the stuff he recorded for all of his classes.
We also, along with this, we also updated the smart classroom listing in a facility section of the ITS site. So if people need to figure out if they're in a smart classroom this semester, that's available.
Very cool. So in other news, we have Moodle upgrades, which actually, I mean, compared to last year, this wasn't as big of a jump. Last year we went from Moodle 1.9 to Moodle 2.3, I think. 2.3. And then this year we're basically just going to 2.4, which is more of an incremental upgrade at the end of the day.
Yeah, there are some fun little things that we've been uncovering. So obviously the first thing that people would notice about Moodle is that the icons have changed, which, you know, just makes it look a little different. But as you dig in, there are some new additions that I think faculty will enjoy. For example, in the new assignment module, so when you go to create an assignment, you actually have options to tell it that you want to receive the submissions from a group.
You can actually
set up groups of students for particular assignments, and then you can associate those groupings with the assignment, and then students can submit them as a group.
Wow.
So
that's pretty nice.
Yeah, and I've also been playing with the rubric option a little bit more because I think that some people are probably ready to experiment with that. And so there's some stuff if you dig around. There's some nice stuff that's been added. Also a roster view. I know this is something that we probably will promote a little bit. So if any faculty are listening, if any students are listening, go in and add your profile picture. If you do it to gravatar.com, that's even the best way. But if you associate it with Moodle, then the roster view allows you to see a list of pictures and names.
Right, so John Wilson, we're talking to you.
That's right.
He actually requested this. It's a roster view that gives you, it's like a conventional Facebook. It's your picture with a title and then with a person's name.
Yeah.
So,
and it's actually got a cool feature that Charles added in where you can click a button for learning mode and it takes the names away so that you just look at the pictures and you can sort of test yourself that way.
Right. So I think Chris Warren at, why am I?
Williams?
Williams, thank you. Had actually put this together, put together something similar originally. And if I remember correctly, Charles refactored that code and then brought it back into, made it Moodle standard. So hat tip to Chris Warren for his initial work in setting it up, but it looks pretty cool. Yeah. Other features I think we added this last semester was speed. We call it speed dater, which allows you to go in and edit all of your, the dates for all of your assignments at once, which I think Jeff Hoffman had actually asked for.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of little things that have improved in Moodle. And then also Charles came up with a fully independent cosmic theme. So in honor of the Cosmic Cup, which is available for download, we published it out to GitHub. Another big upgrade was WordPress. We've gone to WordPress 3.6, and this has been part of an ongoing WordPress refresh project. We have 7 new themes, all of which are responsive, which means that it will resize based on the size of the browser that you're using. So if you're desktop, it'll be a conventional kind of full screen view. If you're on a tablet, it'll shrink down a little bit, reorder the content. If you're on your phone, boom, it goes down to a more optimized view. So one of my favorites of these is Untitled, which it's an image-heavy theme, and you kind of have to crop the headers just right for things to lay out. But it is very nice. I like the way that it condenses down for when you're in responsive mode or on your phone. We added a tool for being able to include LaTeX equations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We also added Code Preserver. These were things we added kind of, I think, in the late spring, but we'll be pushing more now that we're going into the fall. And there's also improved media handling. So it's much easier to add a video. It's much easier to add an audio file. WordPress built-in galleries work much better, so you don't need to use next-gen gallery if you don't want to. All in all, I think the user interface is a lot better.
Absolutely. And then another user interface that I think people will find a lot better, if we can segue, is the new version of Zimbra Webmail.
Yes.
So those of you who use Outlook or iCal and Mail and those types of things may not have really noticed and appreciate, but for those of us like me who are strictly webmail users, the Zimbra 8 upgrade made a lot of significant changes in sort of the layout. We have had quite a few calls about things like the font is rather small, so you need to go into your preferences and sort of change that if you're having vision issues. But there is a new theme. There's a Lafayette theme, so it looks nice and maroon and gray, and it feels very Lafayette.
Yeah.
Charles actually worked on the coloring.
Yes,
for that. So, yeah. So, Zimbra 8 upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, it may seem like a minor thing, but networks and systems put in a huge amount of work into the Zimbra upgrade. It was a summer-long project to get this thing out. I also understand that it fixed some issues with syncing with Android devices. So if you're having issues with your Android phone syncing, you might want to try again, because I know Charles, again, we just keep promoting Charles, but I know he had been having some issues with his Android phone, and the upgrades had fixed it. I think Zimbra 7 may actually have fixed it.
But. Yeah, although if you're on a Windows phone, you may be out of luck. I think it broke some things.
Oh.
It doesn't really play well with Windows now, so.
Bummer.
Sorry, General.
In tech news this week, we have Pinterest, which I've been using a lot. Pinterest is basically I think we actually talked about it before, but it's basically kind of like a bulletin board, a digital bulletin board that you can stick images to, come up with different categories, what have you. So I've seen people using it for collecting recipes, mm-hmm. for coming up with ideas for their house, redecorating, looking at furniture, that kind of stuff.
People planning weddings and birthday parties.
Right. So it's that whole idea. You're surfing around the web. You see, oh, this is awesome. I need to remember this for later. So you pin it and boom, it gets added to your board. And then you can come back. It's a way of having like basically visually collecting aspects of the web.
Right. So, and it is social, to be
clear.
Yes, yes. So for example, like most of the people that I'm looking at, their stuff that they've pinned are people who I follow.
Mm-hmm.
So it is more of a social type of activity.
Yes, and you can have a community board. So you can make some of your boards available for other people. Then they can come in, and if they see something that they think you would be interested in, they pin it there. Or if you're working on a project together, you can say, hey, go out, find this. Boom, yeah, this is what I was talking about, which leads us to using it for education.
That's right. So a couple of different articles have bubbled up, and you know, people are starting to really use this as a tool in education, but has some really great ideas. You know, like Ken mentioned, creating sort of a, you know, a group board. Students could work collaboratively to add things to it. There's actually a really great infographic that we came across that we will link to in the show notes, but several universities, my alma mater, University of Memphis, students in one of their journalism classes has been using Pinterest for a social photography assignment. There's also, you know, other examples. An entrepreneurship class has been using Pinterest to curate social mood boards for public art projects. So lots of interesting ideas. It's a really easy tool.
Oh, yeah.
It's very graphical. So I think that that really also helps students. It sort of appeals to them because it's something visual that they can connect to.
And you end up just adding a button to your browser.
Right.
It says pin it. And when you're on the page, you say pin this, and boom, it finds the image, and then it makes a, you know, it links to that image through pinboard.
Right. So I may actually add my account my account or maybe a couple boards to to the show notes. Just a couple of examples. I also created a whole collection when we were talking about the Center for Global Education. I collected a whole bunch of sort of collaborative classroom spaces because I wanted to sort of illustrate what we were talking about. So it's got some great potential.
Yeah, I think so. Especially when you have one of these things where let me show you what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Rather than just trying to have these, you know, all these emails where they're flowing back and forth about, well, this is what I want my standing desk to be like. Well, how about I just go find some examples and then this is what I thought. Well, this is what I thought. Boom, you throw it into a board. It's interesting.
Right. So also related to the beginning of fall and thinking about class, I don't know if you saw, Ken, but Google Play just released textbooks.
Yeah, I saw that. So you can buy a textbook or you can rent a textbook, correct?
That's right. Digital copies of them. And it looks like the interface is pretty good as far as being able to highlight, annotate, things like that. It's obviously stored in your Google world.
Right.
So you presumably have access to it everywhere.
And it's available for Android and iOS, if I remember
I believe so.
Correctly. I haven't tried it. I haven't tried Google Play on my iDevice at all. But
yeah, I haven't either. But, you know, obviously they're timing it pretty well.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'd be interested if any of our students or faculty have sort of played with it and seen what's available. And I mean, it looks like a bunch of the big players are jumping in here. So it's not just sort of the independent publishers and things. It's some of the bigger names. So I haven't taken the time to go search sort of our faculty requests for books against it just to see. But, I mean, this is a move in the direction to try and save money and sort of one of those moves toward the idea of MOOCs and more open access. And so it'll be interesting to follow. I'm intrigued to see if Google pulls it off better than, you know, Apple and some of the other companies,
right,
the textbook companies that have been more independent.
Right.
So, again, an interesting take on textbook publishing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just a lot more, you know, you could have done this 5 years ago, but I don't think it would have gone very far because of not having the tablet. But I think if you can read your textbook on a tablet, I think it makes a big difference. It's just a form factor that works a little better.
Yeah, although, you know, students still tend to want print, so.
That's true.
It will be interesting to see how long this takes to take off, if it ever does.
Right. So talking about other things that would be interesting if they took off, Google Chromecast. I've heard about this. I haven't seen one in action, but it's a wireless video dongle that you plug into your TV, I guess, through a USB port?
Or HDMI, maybe.
Or is it HDMI port? And I guess that would make more sense for the HDMI port. But in any case, it streams Netflix and YouTube on your TV using Android or iOS tablets as remotes for $35.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously what I've read from most of the reviews is people, because it's $35, a lot of people who would have bought a Roku or something else are like, oh yeah, $35, whatever, let's buy that. And then they get into it and realize it really is worth $35.
Well,
because you do have to have, you do have to have another device to act as a remote. It really only right now does YouTube and Netflix. So, you know, our baseball fans are not going to be able to watch
MLB TV.
You know, Slingbox users are not going to be able to use it to stream Slingbox. So it is very limited, but, you know, for $35.
Yeah, I'm I'm curious because, I mean, most of my, like, so my newer TV already had YouTube and Netflix
built
installed
in,
on it.
Yeah.
I don't use either one of those because I use my PS3 to do this. But, I mean, I could see, like, I have an old TV upstairs. It's 720p or whatever. It doesn't have any of that. Of course, it's hooked up to my Xbox, so I usually use that. But, I mean, I'm curious, like, you know, to your point, it only does these two things. And, like, I think my toaster streams Netflix at this point. I mean...
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think that for $35, a bunch of people will, because it's so tiny, it would be really easy to travel with.
Oh, well, very true.
You know, I mean, I know when I go to my parents, like, the cable box is tied to every television in the whole house.
Right.
So if you don't want to watch what they're watching, it's just tough luck.
Right.
But if you had this...
Well, and if they expanded to include Hulu or, you know, basically a wealth of streaming things, I could see that being very useful.
Yeah. So I'm interested not just in, you know, Google Chromecast, but I'm also interested to see how many different types of devices show up on campus in another week and a half.
Oh, yes.
So that's part of why I put this in here in Tech News, is just because I know that students are always intrigued by new devices. And so I guess just to put a plug, we may should have mentioned this earlier, or maybe this is a good segue into help news in a second, but there's a new form for getting your devices onto the network, your devices that are not a computer with a browser.
Right. So it's basically, it's the game console and device registration form. So you go there, you need your MAC address of your device, which you'll probably need to read your documentation to figure out where the MAC address is if you just don't know. And then you log into our help site and you type in the MAC address, you hit save, and then very shortly it will be registered and you'll be able to start using your device, as opposed to the lengthy, you know,
it used to take time
to do it. Now it's all automated, so...
Well, we just mentioned in help news, well, we mentioned in tech news about help news, about the device registration form, but I just wanted to also let any students know who will be moving in next weekend that we will have IT move-in support over the weekend, so Saturday and Sunday from 12 to 4. In Skillman 105, there will be people from IT there to answer any of your questions and help you with any random problems you may be encountering tech-wise. Currently, workshops scheduled. I think we're pretty much wrapping up summer stuff, but I think there are maybe one or two Qualtrics survey workshops left on the schedule. And other than that, we're putting together custom class sessions. So if you're a faculty member, you're struggling with sort of wanting your students to do something with technology and not sure how to go about that, give an instructional technologist a call and we'll help you work through that and even put together a workshop session for you.
I do have one other bit of news I just thought of. iTunes is being retired.
Yes, iTunes is being retired. So also, if you were tied to iTunes in some capacity and we didn't realize, give us a call and we're happy to help you.
We have your content. We've archived it all off. We're contacting everybody who was using iTunes. At this point, we're using Kaltura instead of iTunes. Which really gives you a lot more options on how you want to use your content. It can be in Moodle. You can show up on media.lof. You can actually embed it into a WordPress page that's working now.
Very nice.
So, you know, it's a lot more flexible in that regard. And, you know, iTunes is always tied to iTunes. So, yes, iTunes U is being turned off next Wednesday, actually, fully, officially. So it's sad to see it go. It was an interesting experiment while it lasted, but we are moving on to other things. So we're always looking for feedback on the show. You can email us at itsblog@lafayette.edu. You can like us on Facebook. It's Lafayette College ITS. And you can follow us on Twitter @LafCallITS.